trouble for the best.
I was telling people all along that Indiana was only going to score 13 points.
Yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah,
so I was confident in that.
Do you think they can win the national title?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I know, of course.
And in a way, I'm not trying to it's do like the, Ryan Day's playing 4D chess or
right,
whatever. But,
right.
But in a way, it's nice.
Because we'll want him fired if he loses.
In a way, it's nice Indiana gets their flowers.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I hate him, but I love him.
Yeah.
I love to hate Cignetti.
Yeah, no, for sure.
His whole demeanor, he's got like a Murder, She Wrote quality.
Yeah.
Doesn't he remind you of Angela Lansbury in a football coach?
Sure. How about Fernando Mendoza? What a weirdo. In a very endearing way. We're flipping champs, baby!
So he reminds me of like a Dungeons and Dragons kid.
Yeah.
He seems like a football dork.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I mean that in the most positive way.
Absolutely. Doesn't it seem like all of his answers are kind of like rehearsed and scripted? Because he's kind of looking into the camera and he's so polished and everything is kind of a self-contained statement that's like made for, does that fit the space you need in your documentary for that transition? Okay, good.
I'm sorry. Are you not familiar with Kurt Cignetti? Do you not think every level of that program is tailored exactly to what he wants? If you interviewed the third string linebacker, he'd have equally polished answers.
Yeah, good point.
Because they're in the, I'm sure he's got like a manual.
Yeah.
Like a Hoosiers Bible right. that he gives
to
players.
How to speak, yeah.
All of it. Everything. From plays, on the field, and off.
Love it.
So we'll do the, you know, Jason Candlegate.
Yeah.
Which you were staked out on his property.
I was.
He lives on that little pond. Were you on like, frogged out? Did you emerge on
Does
the...
Does he live in a pond?
Did you hit the beach? Yeah. Isn't there one of these man-made ponds out at the country club?
He lives in Ottawa Hills now.
Well.
He moved a few years ago.
Okay, and, so no.
But he recently built a pool in the backyard 2 years ago, so.
So you hid out in his pool.
I did. Okay. I did. I was just kind of lounging out there with my laptop, so.
Okay, so we'll start with Jason Candle's move to UConn. We'll talk about Ohio State's historic loss to Indiana. Some scraps for BG in Michigan?
Sure.
Okay, and then we'll look ahead to the tournament and your visit to Dallas.
Will we have another show before the end of the year?
Oh, yeah.
All right, perfect, yeah.
Oh, my God.
At least have one more, for sure.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, maybe do a couple extras.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We got sponsors now.
I'm going
to zoom. We'll go Jason Candle, Toledo's bowl transition, which is kind of interesting. They actually expect
the Boca Raton Bowl
play.
With Wiener.
And the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. How great is that? On the conference call with the freaking bowl last night, our friend Mark Coons from BCSN asked the bowl executive the question everybody wants to know. Will a giant vat of baked beans be dumped on the winning coach?
Yes.
Because that's what, you know, people shamed the Duke's Mayo Bowl into they didn't dump Mayo the first year, but social media shamed them. Now the winning coach for the Duke's Mayo Bowl gets dumped in mayonnaise, and you look at all of them, whether it's Cheez-Its or Pop-Tart.
We're all chasing the Pop-Tart bowl.
Right, absolutely. That's kind of the cream of the crop. But yeah, absolutely. So that was a little disappointing that we're not going to get that.
The Bush's Baked Beans bowl of baked beans bureaucracy is forever chasing the high of what the Pop-Tart's public relations masters achieved.
Absolutely.
Why not just one big bean?
I don't know. It could be the case.
Could
I mean,
nasty.
They said they have funtivities planned, and
I'm
they
sorry,
have a secret.
I'm sorry, funtivities.
Apparently,
I'm sorry. Have we informed the people at Merriam-Webster's about this funtivities?
They have. They said there's a secret coming that they don't want to let out of the bag. So we'll see.
I hope it's a giant bean. Let's introduce the show. Welcome to the heart of the rivalry, the Blades College Football Show that covers Ohio State, Michigan, Bowling Green, and a newly coachless Toledo Rockets football club. I mean, they technically have an interim, but we will get to that. He is Blade columnist Dave Briggs. What's up, Dave?
What up? Good.
You've been busy. You've had a lot of work to do.
We're on Coach Watch, man. It's the most exciting time of the year.
I'm photographer and producer Phil Kaplan, and we are, of course, sponsored by Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee and Renewal by Anderson. Dave, I watched Shedeur Sanders perform a little magic at Dale's this very weekend. I did it.
You were there?
I went.
Nice.
I went. I had a couple poppers.
Love it.
Uh-huh. So Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee, whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads, and jalapeno poppers. Combine that with 21 beers on taps, including Christmas ales. There's something there for everyone to enjoy. This episode is also brought to you by Renewal by... Are you looking up Renewal by Anderson?
I am.
It's renewalbyanderson.com.
Okay.
The window replacement experts, backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship, from consultation to installation, Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. Tell us, Dave Briggs, everything that we need to know about Jason Candle abandoning Toledo in the middle of the night like a... I'm just kidding.
Good riddance. My God. No.
Do you want me to do my impression now? Do you
sure.
want to get that out of the way?
Impression of what? I don't know, but do it.
Okay. So first of all, for people that don't know or finding out for the first time, why don't you give us a synopsis of what has happened?
Well, Jason Candle, after 17 seasons at Toledo, including 10 as the head coach, a decade-long run in which he became the all-time winningest coach at Toledo, is now leaving for the University of Connecticut. On the surface, it might seem like a lateral move. UConn's has no real FBS tradition. They're playing a stadium a half hour from campus. Their previous coach, Jim Mora, just traded it for
Junior.
Jim Mora Jr. just traded the UConn job for Colorado State, which is a G5 school, just like Toledo. Colorado State, better job than Toledo, but you get the point. You get the
Fort
point.
Collins.
It's it can seem like a lateral move, but it's getting double the pay and more resources. And more importantly, the key thing is just a change in scenery, a fresh challenge. I think after 10 years, the marriage had just kind of gotten a little, it was rewarding and satisfying, but it was one of those situations where both sides kind of knew it was time, but neither wanted to say it first. And Jason Candle finally said it. You know, I think he didn't feel like he was totally appreciated for all he had accomplished. 81-44, two MAC championships. That's more than Nick Saban and Matt Campbell and Gary Pinkle.
More than Nick Saban.
One combined at Toledo. Nick okay. Saban's gone on to, I don't know what he's done.
Lateral then, move
he's
also.
He's done some lateral moves since his yeah. success at lateral. Other jobs. And on the flip side, I think Toledo fans, you know, most Toledo fans probably had a higher standard for the program and had gotten tired of the same inconsistency. Everybody appreciated Jason Candle, the person, and what the program stood for. And the way he recruited, retained, developed guys was unbelievable, unmatched in the MAC. No team in the MAC has more NFL players.
There you go.
No
pro
team,
talent.
No team recruits better.
Ultimate measure.
And that's going to continue. Emmanuel McNeil Warren should be a first-team All-American safety. He's going to be a top two round pick. So pretty incredible the run Toledo's on with that. But it kind of had the feel of a program that, you know, the sum of its parts was more than the whole most years. This is the 8-4 this year. Before the previous six regular seasons, only once did they win more than seven regular season games. Kind of gotten into that 7-5, 8-4 rut with a program that was investing a lot. I'd say this is probably not many G5 teams went more all in the revenue sharing era this year. There are Toledo players making six figures now. The administration went all in. This was supposed to be a special year. They had the foundation for that. And I think this is just kind of the final straw for both sides, the fans and Candle, where it was just kind of both sides appreciated each other and both sides were probably ready for a reset. So I think this could serve both sides. I think Jason will do well at UConn. Again, a fresh challenge can be clarifying, and athletic director Brian Blair has a top G5 job where he can go out and take a big swing. And I'm really interested to see who they hire.
You think this is a, if you don't know me by now song situation, or do you think it's a, the thrill is gone song situation?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
How would you classify it?
Okay.
What's the as a Toledo fan, the thrill is gone.
I feel like right. Toledo is trying to reach up for a more cosmic experience.
Yeah, right.
And has, as I said, an earthbound relationship with Jason that has concluded. Special season for him, though.
Yeah.
He got a new job out of it.
For sure. Okay. I'm sure he's very conflicted as well. I mean, it's an exciting opportunity. But I do want to make clear, let's not let the revisionist spin cast his tenure as anything but a success.
Oh, totally.
I mean, all-time wins leader, a great... His first 2 years were awesome. He had the 2023 where they... won 11 straight, cracked the national polls. He had two MAC championships. At the very least, a relevance to begin the season and an excitement. Obviously, they didn't live up to those expectations. But all in all, a rewarding 10-year trip that probably was best for both parties to see other people.
Is Toledo in a better place than it was 10 years ago? Absolutely. So, but just by that measure,
sure.
I think you can just, it's easily a success.
Right.
But also, Jason Candle isn't the only one who's departing. Toledo's historic defense also lost its coordinator.
Yeah. Defensive coordinator Vince Karras, the mastermind of the number two total defense in America. He's off to Syracuse. A lot of schools were wanted him.
Fran Brown?
Nebraska. Right? Yeah, Nebraska wanted him. Jason, of course, would have wanted him to join him at UConn. Probably people are wondering, a lot of people think he would have been the natural successor at Toledo. My understanding is he was kind of told he's under consideration, but given no assurances, and which is more than fair. If Toledo aspires to reach the next standard, it owes itself a national search. And Vince said, cool, I'll go to Syracuse. This is a great opportunity. Where, yes, he will work with Fran Brown. They're also losing their co-defensive coordinator, Ross Watson, who's a rising star in his own right. He's going to Iowa State. So that's another reason why this is probably...
It's a little Iowa State-Toledo tie-in if you want to jump on
this
that.
This is another right... Well, yeah, with Matt Campbell going to Penn State.
Yeah.
But, so I think that's another reason why it's probably time for Jason Candle to turn the page. No matter what, the program was at a crossroads. My informed speculation is that Toledo was going to have to make major offensive staff changes this offseason, changes that Jason Candle probably didn't necessarily completely agree with. I think him giving up his play calling was very much on the table. Probably going to have to make some other staff changes. And on the defensive side, I think Vince Karras was going to leave anyway. You know, your Broyles Award finalist, number two total defense in America. That does not go unnoticed. He was going to get wooed. I mean, he's probably making a couple $100,000 at Toledo, probably making, I haven't seen the contract. And Syracuse is a private university, right?
I don't know that off the top of my head. Yeah, I only know that they're a high-level journalism school
along with
Northwestern.
You know what? I
have to do Northwestern.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Syracuse, Northwestern, Maryland, Missouri.
I can't say.
You're embarrassing.
I know.
So they were going to lose him anyway. He's going to probably make $1.5 million a year, something big. So
a lot of coordinators and some players are going to go with Candle.
Yeah.
But for now... Enter the Boca Raton Bowl and quarterbacks coach Wiener to
Robert
save
Wiener.
The day. Boca Raton, for those scoring at home, we like to remind you again, that means Mouth of the Rat.
So to
the Mouth of the Rat Bowl, and tell us what we need to know about our interim coach.
Well, first of all, I will give Jason Candle a lot of credit for kind of a gracious transition. He wants this team at Toledo to have the best opportunity to have the structure in place to finish the season right. With the exception of Karras and Ross Watson, all the assistants are expected to coach in the game, including many who are probably going to join Jason at UConn. That does not happen everywhere. When Matt Campbell went to Iowa State, for instance, there was pretty much left a skeleton staff behind and kind of had GAs running wild and they won the game. So they clearly had some structure in place. That was when Jason Candle was his first game as head coach. They beat Temple at the Boca Raton Bowl. All comes full circle.
Wow. How about that?
But they are in a really good place to compete in this game. Louisville's good. It'll be a tough challenge. I wouldn't
pick Louisville.
Louisville. They're a good challenge. Oh. I would not pick Toledo to win, but I know hot take, just firing hot takes today. But you're going to have incredible stability on the coaching staff, all things considered. And Robert Wiener today said that he expects a large, if not all, contingent of players to play. And that includes Chip Traynham, the star running back. And the biggest surprise to me was Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, they could both wash it and it wouldn't affect their status going forward.
Right. I mean, I get Chip Traynham, a big showcase. But E-Man, I mean, that's again, he should be a first team All-American. He's first team on my ballot. He has nothing left to prove. Highest rated safety in Pro Football Focus. He'll be a first two-round draft pick regardless. And him playing kind of speaks a lot about the, I guess, the culture left behind, but also Robert Wiener. I mean, he's if you've ever heard him talk, he's a former high school legend at Tampa Plant, won a million state championships there, made a mid-career coaching change from high school coach at 55 to become Jason's quarterbacks coach and co-offensive coordinator at Toledo. So he spent the last 6 years in college, and he's kind of, if you've heard him talk, he'll have you wanting to run through that wall. So
is he from the South?
He's from Florida, I believe.
Well, you know, Florida can have some stratification.
Yeah, he went to Boston College, but I do believe he's from Florida.
Is he from North Florida? Cause that's the South.
Yeah, well, that's true. Not the transplanted South of that's not the South. That's not the South.
Well, South Florida is more just a bunch Cuba, of well, right? And then you have the thin band of retirees, and then it just turns into the deep South.
But Wiener's the perfect guy, the perfect bridge guy to kind of keep the ship going in the right direction. And in an era where we see all these losers kind of opting out of bowl games and calling it a season,
losers,
pretty refreshing to see a team that kind of has every reason to just kind of cash it in. And they're really excited to play in this game and one last time together. And so we'll see. Should be fun.
So we are heart of the rivalry. We represent two programs in the Big Ten and two programs in the MAC. But we're Midwestern, right? Yeah. So our values are about kindness and working together.
Yeah.
So this would never be our take. But were this a Southern show, this is how I think, you know, I would have come in here today. Okay, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
This limited impression of if the heart of the rivalry were below the Mason-Dixon line.
Flaming.
Are you ready?
Candle on the way out.
You're right. Okay,
all right.
You ready?
All right.
Okay. Jason Candle, he may be a Husky now, but he's always been a dog.
You know, I have something to get on my chest. You know, Jason.
Oh boy.
Jason only spent 17 years here. To use Toledo as a stepping stone. I mean, I'm not even sure he bought a house. He leased Stone Oak for a couple of years.
He rinsed and repeated these people.
Yeah.
These innocent Hamletters.
No, for sure. Just absolute betrayal. Again, just only 17 years at Toledo. That's just.
Less than a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Emptier than these cups.
Mm-hmm. No, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I think that's a good segue, Dave. Unfortunately, is Ohio State's loss to Indiana embarrassing?
Did you immediately spin and rationalize it to, you know, this is just what the boys needed to, they were getting a little complacent. The machine was rolling through and they need a little chip on their shoulder, just like last season. Have another heated team meeting where the players just lob grenades at Ryan Day and just question everything. And
thread took that turn immediately.
Yeah,
better to lose now than in the tournament. I was super surprised that we didn't score more points.
Yeah. It was alarming to see the offensive line give up five sacks early.
They were just
getting work.
That is the most pressure that Julian Sand has seen all year. But I do think that our special teams cost us at least a chance at a thrilling overtime. That game was destined for overtime. You say, well, okay, what is Ohio State's underbelly? Special teams maybe not been that great.
Yeah, and the offensive line was exposed a little bit. But I also kind of think they do have the pieces there, and it's gonna be a situation where the criticism and the challenge is gonna get them to rise to a new level in the playoff. All things considered, probably a good thing for Ohio State to maybe be humbled a little bit. I was surprised like you that the offense wasn't able to move the ball a little more. Although when the chips were down, they did move the ball until they got into the shadow of the goal line. I think 151 yards on those final two drives, final two true drives, and 0 points coming out of it. That's hard to do. You're not going to win many games. It's also one of those weird things where it's kind of like a jersey bias. Like if the teams were very even, Ohio State probably ultimately had the better chances to win late, given that they were knocked on the door twice late. If that was like against number two Alabama or number two Georgia, you would kind of just say, that's a great game between two absolute juggernauts. And that's what Indiana is. They are absolutely loaded. When you go out to Georgia or when you go out to Oregon, beat them, when you just blow the doors off everyone else on your schedule, they are legit. They're as good as Ohio State or Georgia. As we saw, they beat Ohio State.
Sigurnaut. Can we say Sigurnaut?
Sigurnaut, juggernaut. Yeah. And I love Kurt Cignetti, that third down, that gutsy call. He said afterward, you know, we're not playing to lose. And he probably not only won the game, but won Fernando Mendoza the Heisman.
It was a gutty performance. And I think that is true. I think Mendoza, especially with how you called it polished, but it's a bit of a little kid joy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
In there, so I think that wins voters over also.
But I voted Fernando Mendoza. You know, we're not allowed to reveal our Heisman vote. They make you sign a non-disclosure agreement. But what the hell?
Oh boy,
I can
call
say,
the lawyers.
you vote for your top three. So I won't reveal how.
Oh,
I voted.
Say who you didn't vote
I
for.
Won't reveal. Yeah, okay, well, I'll just name the 1,000 people I didn't vote for. You're not allowed to reveal your top three, but I also voted in the AP Player of the Year vote, and that's also a top three. You would think those would be the same, and you are allowed to reveal that one. So my 1, 2, 3 for that was Fernando Mendoza 1, Julian Sain 2, Diego Pavia 3.
Like that Tulane and James Madison are in and mm-hmm. not Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And that they wrote off their bowl game?
I know.
That's wild.
No, absolutely.
That is wild. Well, so, and also you talk about like, okay, what are the underlying motives or silver linings?
Yeah.
I mean, the Moors are already unned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're in a new era anyway. I would not be surprised if we don't just jump to 16, if it went straight to 24 next year.
Yeah.
And it started the week after Thanksgiving.
Speaking of unmooring, that's why we're in the position we're in today at Toledo with Jim Mora leaving. UConn was unmoored. And now, okay, that's too forcing it. And now we're really hard for that, Dave.
I'm proud of you.
I did not. I was waiting for that all. I was hoping you would say unmoored so I could just get that in there. I don't know. It's the two G5 things kind of is a joke, obviously. I love G5 inclusion.
Yep.
But to have a second G5 team,
yep.
That's probably a little much. But I don't think it's not a playoff format problem. It's an ACC problem. If ACC just had it's the ACC's fault for expanding to 1,000 teams and having a completely idiotic tiebreaker that doesn't put your best teams in the playoff. If Miami is in that, there's no issue. Miami's by far the best team in the ACC.
Yeah.
Somehow they don't get in the ACC title game. But if they're in the ACC title game, this is all not an issue. Miami gets the automatic ACC bid. They're one of the five highest rated conference champions, and Notre Dame also gets in. This is also not going to be an issue if this happened next year. And one of the crazy newsy wrinkles of this all, Notre Dame just signed a memorandum of understanding with the College Football Playoff that beginning next year, if they are in the top 12 of the rankings, they are automatically in. So that would have bumped Miami out automatically. So that would have been crazy.
But I didn't know that.
But I don't love... The conspiracy theories with this are all insane, including what you alluded to, that they ESPN and the committee somehow didn't want ESPN in the playoff. ESPN's still a ratings juggernaut. I mean, you want to punish your playoff by taking out one of the most popular teams in the country. That makes no sense. As does the flip side of that with Notre Dame. You can kind of seeing this mating, this argument being made by Notre Dame surrogates and maybe even directly that Notre Dame, if they're not going to be included in the playoff, then they're not going to help ESPN's ratings by agreeing to one of their bowl games. Because ESPN owns most of these bowl games. They're obviously on ESPN's networks. So they think they're sticking it to the man by not agreeing to play in the bowl game, not goosing ESPN's ratings. So I don't get that at all. I think Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame will regret this in a few days. You hear all the time of, yeah, so what? You're going to have a few guys opt out, but it's also an opportunity for the other seniors to play one last game, and it's an opportunity to have 15 bowl practices. How many times do we hear of coaches saying this is an extra spring? It's another time for development for your younger guys. So I don't get what this serves other than a momentary release and a kind of a sense you're sticking it to the man, which they're not sticking it to anybody. No one cares that Notre Dame's not in a second-tier bowl game.
Mm. That is true.
I do feel bad for my Notre Dame friends. They are one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
They should be in.
Yes.
I would have personally put them in
yes.
over Alabama.
Yes.
But I don't love the way Notre Dame has kind of this lame protest.
Every team is its own team, and you know, like you say, this is the last time some of those kids are gonna put on a football uniform ever. Play, go take the trip.
I think Marcus
play the football game.
We'll regret this in a couple days, but
do you think they'll rescind and then beg for an invite to the Pop-Tart Bowl?
I love it. How about we? Yeah, or we can just start the Glass Bowl back up again. And you remember the Glass Bowl? Were you
what
around?
Do
for
I
the
remember
glass
the
bowl?
Glass Bowl
from that? What was it from? Like the I believe it was in the 60s or 70s.
Oh, they had
a bowl
game
called
here
the Glass
called
Bowl.
Oh,
yeah, in the winter.
No,
yeah,
no,
so
I do not.
We can fire that one up. Have Notre Dame play. Yeah. Well,
Who else can we bring? Who technically won the Pac-2?
Yeah,
didn't Oregon, yeah. Did Oregon
Washington
State,
State
and
or
they split
Oregon,
it?
I think Washington State won.
Okay, so we'll have Washington
yeah,
State
yeah.
come out,
but
and they'll play Notre Dame.
Yeah,
so. Dude, would it sell out?
Oh yeah,
it would
for
totally
sure.
sell out.
Oh, absolutely, Notre Dame. Are you kidding me?
You know, you said that it was a lateral move, but wherever the Huskies play, half hour away from campus.
Yeah,
anything that is at Toledo's level, right, in terms of a program, Toledo has one of the nicest stadiums for that level.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I've been to, I actually grew up a UConn fan before moving.
He's
to,
a dog.
Moving to
He's
Ohio,
a dog.
I actually threw on a, yeah, I have a UConn basketball jersey from way back in the day.
Rip Hamilton
and
guy?
And I think it was actually Donyell Marshall.
Oh, my God.
But I threw it on, and I sent a picture of me in the UConn jersey to Candle on a text thread we're on. And so he was...
Did you get anything back from that?
Yeah, just a exclamation point. Even though we've had our differences, I've always appreciated Jason. So I certainly wish him the best. Another cool thing, Jason's a diehard Red Sox fan. He's now in the heart of Red Sox country in New England. He'll probably get to throw out the first pitch at Fenway Park. He's going to be introduced at Madison Square Garden tonight where UConn basketball is playing. He gets to freaking coach with Dan Hurley and Gino Auriemma, be around them. How cool is that? He's a huge golfer. He's going to get to play in the Pro-Am at the Travelers Tournament. I mean, it's pretty, I think it's, again, it's just this is going to be reinvigorating for him. And I think it's, I'm excited to watch.
But
Toledo,
also for
also
the program.
Excited.
Okay, listen, let's get out of here. We've already done the most damage we can do. That was some good wrap up of you got some good history in there. I didn't know about the Glass Bowl.
Yeah.
Bowl. Okay, so that was dynamite stuff. You should be a sports columnist.
Nah.
Guy. Yeah.
Maybe a beat writer.
Heart of the Rivalry is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. If you're ready to transform your home with Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door and get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. End of the year rapidly approaching. Of course, as we said, today's episode also brought to you by Dale's Bar and Grill in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch all the college football action as well as the NFL at Dale's, one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio. Wolverines still welcome. Did you have anything for BG or Michigan this week? Any scraps?
No, it'll be interesting to see Michigan play Texas in their bowl game.
The Arch Manning, the crescendo of the Arch Manning Heisman campaign.
Well, yeah, last year Michigan upset a team that thought it belonged in the playoff and in Alabama. Now they have another chance against another SEC team that had a case to be in the playoff. So we'll see who plays.
Didn't Michigan have like get a bunch of turnovers in the game right away?
Alabama was just an absolute cluster. And then Bowling Green, I don't think they've been invited to a bowl, but we're getting pretty far. We're getting pretty far down the list. You know, some 5-7 teams are going. Now the teams are opting out. Maybe a 4-8 team could get there.
They'll replace and,
call the kids back to campus. Can you imagine calling the team back like 3 days before Christmas? Hey, can you guys get to Detroit? But yeah, so anyway.
All right. So the Buckeyes are going to play the winner of this Texas A&M and Miami game.
And for the second straight year, possibly playing a road game at the Cotton Bowl. Last year played Texas. This year could play Texas A&M. Both schools are about 2.5 hours away from Dallas. So I don't think it'll be an issue because, honestly, Ohio State probably has almost as many alums in the Metroplex era as A&M. I shouldn't say almost, but
who do you want to play
more? A crazy
more?
Amount. I think both games are interesting. I don't know. I mean, if from a fan's perspective, who do you think would be easier for Ohio State?
I think Miami is a better team.
Yeah.
So I think that you know, and Miami fans hate Ohio State. A lot of not Ohio State hates Ohio State, but Miami.
Does Miami
in
have fans?
Yeah, they do. Especially the college has a lot of, you know, people just eternally waiting for the U to come back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because Ohio State took it. Ohio State took the U away from the U.
That would be a case though, where 80,000 Ohio State fans, 10,000 Miami fans. At the end of the day, it's still a tiny private university in Miami. It's not.
That it is. Clark. I would still say that Miami is better than Texas A&M, and I expect Miami to beat Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Now, Miami, they can, you know, what, like their loss to Louisville or SMU, it can happen.
Yeah.
And it's the one-and-done tournament, baby. We're there.
Yep.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Should be fun. Dun, 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 dun.
Now, when is that first game?
Sure.
When is the next game?
It's like 31st.